Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, and I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast presented by Agency Revolution, creators of Fuse, the insurance marketing software that skyrockets retention, boosts policy per customer, and makes your clients love your agency. Without you having to hire more staff, programmers, or technologists, visit agencyrevolution.com and request a demo today. Now, you've never heard me say I'm super excited about this podcast, have you? Of course, I say that about every time. And I mean it every time. And this time, no exception, this is the only time I have ever invited a guest back for their third podcast. And the reason is because, number one, Chuck Blondino is a world-class expert. He is a world-class person. He is a passionate advocate for the independent insurance agency channel. And he's got data. Every year, Safeco is conducting a survey on, the way I put it is, what's working right now? What are their fastest growing agencies doing that are, what are the behaviors that are predictable, that are repeatable, that other agencies can do? So we answer that question. Chuck answers that question today. Before I introduce Chuck, a couple of really quick things. Number one, if you want to stay in touch and never miss anything, get the latest tips and tricks and techniques, connect with me. Follow me on LinkedIn. So that's number one. Next time you're on LinkedIn, look up Michael Janz and connect with me. I will connect back with you. And number two, if you are also interested in a little more informal insight into what's working, work with my clients, a little bit about the Casita lifestyle, then follow me on Instagram. So next time you're on Instagram, folks, look up Michael Janz. That said, it is a great privilege for me to introduce a longtime friend and a professional whom I admire. Chuck Blondino is the Director of Agency Capabilities and Programs at Safeco. And the information here, I think somewhere in the interview I said, now if I were an agency principal now, after I listened to this, I would say, okay, time for a staff meeting and just hit the play button, let everybody listen to it, and then say, hey, what are we going to do about it? That's how power-packed this conversation is with Chuck Blondino. So now, without further ado, it is a great privilege for me to introduce you to my friend, to my colleague, Chuck Blondino. Chuck Blondino, back again for another round. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
Absolutely terrific.
Okay, as I expected. So, full disclosure to our listeners, you and I have spoken about the topic that we're going to be talking about already for, I'm adding up, about an hour and a half. So, I'm mentioning that because I'm absolutely enthralled with what you're doing and the information that you're presenting. And while I've been exposed to it, I think I'm still gushing like a, you know, like a schoolgirl on this. But the fact that I know a fair amount about this doesn't make me blasé or bored about this information at all. I think this is absolutely important. So I'm excited about presenting this. So.
Yeah, that's great, Michael. I would simply share with you that I don't think there's anything more exciting as an agent than hearing what the heck is it that everybody else is doing to grow.
Isn't that?
We're sitting at a time when the marketplace is flat.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm excited too.
So let's start big picture. First of all, you and I have spoken about this survey three times because I think you've conducted it three times since I've been delivering the podcast, something like that, or at least maybe we reported on an early version once. But this is not your first time, not the first rodeo on this survey. And here's, listeners should know, why do I get so excited about this? Because it's real live data. And it's data about what's working in the marketplace today. And we don't get a lot of data. And I try to seek it out like a heat-seeking missile. And this time, thank you, Safeco, for delivering it. So let's start big picture. Tell us about this high growth agent survey, and you know, kind of what are the mechanics of the survey itself, and then we'll dive into the data.
Yeah. So essentially, Michael, in the role that I'm in, this team that I lead is called Agency Capabilities and Programs, and we teach programs that work, that help agents grow. We try and study what the fastest growing agents are doing, and then we build programs off of that to make it easy so people don't have to recreate the wheel. And I really think that it starts from a position of one thing, and that is I absolutely believe every independent agent can grow and should be growing because I simply believe they are a better way of purchasing insurance for a client that has multiple needs and needs someone's advice. So I totally believe in the independent agent channel. And so now I go to, okay, how do we all grow together? And with this survey, we've been conducting it. We were doing it every other year. Now we're doing it every year. But the difference this year is that we're including both business lines and personal lines.
Huge.
So it's no longer just a Safeco survey, since Safeco is only selling personal lines. It is a Safeco personal lines as well as Liberty Mutual business lines survey of our high growth agents.
And as I recall, you are discovering some similarities about behaviors that lead to success on both sides, personal and commercial. Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's amazing to see.
All right.
Yep.
Okay. So yes, it is it's the modern age of insurance, and I think one of the conclusions, if agencies act like it's a modern age and behave like that, then they'll be connecting with the customer in a way that pleases the customer. You said something the last time we talked that still resonates in my mind when you said the independent agency channel should be winning. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, I think that may be a direct Chuck Blondino quote. That may be a Blondinoism. And and I think if I can interpret that, you're not just saying that because you're an agent advocate. You're saying that because you know that if agents follow certain behaviors, they will win, and there's proof.
Yes.
Okay.
And that comes from surveying these high-growth agents, and what you realize is that everything they're doing is both teachable and repeatable. And there's no secret. There are a few agents that are out there that are doing things that are unique. And I will tell you up front, Michael, I am not here ever during our surveys to give away people's secret sauce. What I'm looking for are the behaviors that a majority of these high-growth agents are doing and share those things. And then once you get the basics down and you got the revenue coming in and the retention goes up 3 to 6 points, now you've got all the money that you want to go test and try all the new things to go be unique. The challenge is most of them are out there selling and servicing and telling everyone, oh, I love that class. That information I learned at all these different conferences was terrific. And then they go back and they don't do it because they're too busy and they don't know how to get out of the loop.
Uh-huh.
So that's what we teach, is how to get out of the loop.
Okay. Let's talk about some of the basic fundamentals. As I recall, you identified 700 fast growth agencies on the personal line side and 700 fast growth agencies on the commercial side. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. Yep.
All right. And these are How are you defining fast growth? What got them in the category? Not the behaviors, the
Michael,
results.
I'm so glad you started with this, because sometimes agents say, oh, well, those are just agencies that were doing book transfers, or oh, those are the ones that went and purchased a location.
Now, you and I are pure organic growth guys, so.
It's all about organic growth.
Okay.
Because for us both to grow together, if an agent buys a book of business, that's great. The agency grows, but I don't. Whereas if we do a book transfer with an agency, hey, I just grew, but the agent didn't. And there are good reasons to do both of those things.
Indeed.
I'm not saying don't do that. I'm simply saying I want to know about organic growth and how do I find what's teachable and repeatable there. So I do start by saying policies in force growth is what matters. On the personal line side, I do measure a combination of both written premium and policies in force growth on the business line side. But if you buy a book of business, let's just say it's just as large as the book you currently have, your base that we measure your organic growth by just doubled. So it makes it harder to grow organically.
Got it.
All right. So you can still be in it if you bought a book of business, but your base of which you have to grow to qualify to get in is tougher.
Organic growth, a track record of reliable growth consistently for some years, has a magical influence on valuation. I'm going to leave it at that, but that's a little soapbox I'll get on some other time. But there are multiple reasons for agencies to be interested in organic growth. Obviously, increased income is one, but also ultimately when an acquirer can see agency A, same size as agency B, but it has a track record of growth, obviously it's a better investment. They'll pay a premium for it. So enough on that one. Now let's start to drill down. If you don't mind, let's drill down into what are the big findings or conclusions that you drew from your analysis of fast growth agencies?
Yeah, so for years we also did a study of just grouped everyone together, and so in addition to doing both personal and business lines, we also split these into large or $1 million plus in personal lines, in business lines, large is 1.25 million or more with Liberty. And then the medium range we also surveyed, which is in personal lines, 250 up to a million, and in business lines, 500,000 up to 1.25. So what I'm trying to avoid, Michael, is the small ones, because their numbers fluctuate so dramatically on growth. So we just try and even it out a little bit, be a little more conservative with the growth numbers.
Okay. All right. And so, as I recall, I think I know these numbers by heart because, this is stuff that sticks with me. But correct me if I'm wrong. The fast growth agencies on the personal line side grew 13 to 20%. Am I right?
It is true. But let me pull you back one step from that. And that is to share what's happening today in the marketplace.
Uh-huh.
So the marketplace is growing 0.2% on the personal line side. This is an AM Best number for the entire market. This is not a Safeco number. And so essentially they're flat, right?
It grew how much? 0.2.
And in business lines, the marketplace grew 0.03, even smaller. So again, really flat. In fact, from our view of AM Best on both personal and business lines, the percentage has not moved more than one half of 1 point up or down for a decade. So we have, okay, now you know.
Yeah, okay.
It's not growing.
Let me ask you a question about that. Is that industry-wide or is that independent agency channel-wide?
That's independent agent channel-wide.
Flat. 10 years.
Yep.
Okay.
So that might mean that the actual certainly as premiums go up, the available premium is larger. That's true. But the percentage that the independent agencies hold is remaining steady. It's not shrinking.
Right.
That's the good news.
Okay. And so I think some people would say, oh, gosh, with the growth of let's say Progressive and Geico, they got to be taking it from us. But I think your premise is that our industry right now, our channel industry is flat.
Yes.
And yet we have agencies that are not flat.
Right.
Okay. So, and clearly they're doing something different. So that's a lot of what you uncovered from this survey.
Yeah. So as you just stated, that those that are over a million among those larger agents in these 700 that we surveyed, 13% is the growth rate for the large and 20% is the growth rate for the medium range. And on business line side, it's 19% and 30 for the large and 30% for the medium size group, which is both of those sets of numbers are stunning when you look at a marketplace that is flat. So somebody's doing something right out there, and what are they doing that I can teach other people? That's what we're starting.
Okay,
to
so out. That's what we're going to dive into. And I do want to call attention to one point here. When you say, let's say $1 million, you're talking about $1 million of business with Safeco. We're not analyzing their entire book.
I'm not analyzing their entire book to qualify to be surveyed. We are analyzing their responses to their entire book once we get to asking them the questions about how they're growing.
Indeed. Okay. Got
it. But a $1 million agency with Safeco or a $1.5 million agency with Liberty could be $10 million agencies or $20 million
Indeed.
Agencies.
Okay.
So we just start there at the large.
All right. So what did you find out?
Well, the first thing I want to tell you is let's start with hiring producers. 49% of the personal lines agencies hired a producer, and 38% of the business lines high growth agencies hired a producer. Among the agencies that hired to replace, in personal lines, only 13% of those were replacement producers, and in business lines, only 7%. So what's really happening here is these agencies have a totally different mindset from the rest of the group that says, oh my gosh, nothing's moving, the marketplace is flat, there's not a lot of new opportunity. These guys are thinking there is abundance everywhere, there are totally new opportunities, there are opportunities other people aren't taking because they're too busy, let's hire someone now and get them out into the sales force.
Okay, that's huge. I love to hear that. And personal lines as well as commercial lines.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Even
okay.
more on the personal lines side, which is
so,
fascinating.
Right. Okay, so moving on. What else did you discover?
Second key, before I get into more detail about what are some of the specifics, is this one I know, Michael, is near and dear to your heart, but when we asked them, how many of you have someone on staff doing the marketing? 62% of the personal lines agencies said yes. 48% of the business lines agencies said yes. Then we say, okay, among those who have someone on staff, what percent of them are internal, where your marketing is all being handled internally? 81% of the personal lines people that said, yes, we have someone on staff, 81% of them said it's all being handled internally. 72% said it's all on internal on the business line side. When I ask them, do you have just an external vendor? How many of you have just an external vendor and no one on staff? Just 6% of the personal lines folks and 0 of the business line side. So what they're learning is, look, I can hire someone to help, and there are some that do that, but I'm still going to have somebody on staff that can tell my story, that can be out with us when we're doing our community service events, that can be take photos when we have a parade, that can take photos when we're doing our, you know, bike walk or our food drive or our blanket drive, and get that kind of stuff in our communications out to our clients. It is so much more effective based on what we see here from these high growth agents.
Well, in fact, you are right that it is near and dear to my heart. So, and I knew you were going to bring this one up. Chuck, I think you and I met in 2004. Something like that, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah. And it was at an event where there were probably some several hundred insurance agents at one of our old boot camps. And indeed, I was teaching marketing, and I realized, gosh, in this industry, who does it? And so my most aggressive clients who had the available time, the agency principal would frequently do it. But I think what we've seen is a maturing of the industry, and we've seen it in other industries as well, other small business industries as well, where the traditional structure, in our case of the independent insurance agency, is now morphing. So instead of having agencies that are just, let's say, you know, the principal, and then there's the CSRs over here, the producers over here, and the admin, and with, you know, HR or accounting over here, now there is a new position, and that position is marketer, and it does seem to be getting traction in the industry. So yes, I'm thrilled to know it's not just my clients that are involved in the activity. So, so about that marketer, I know you have a really interesting insight, because for a lot of people, there is like the immediate objection. Oh my gosh, I got to hire somebody, and it's, you know, benefits and salary, and, you know, another person sitting around, and so on and so forth. A lot of agents have found at least a provisional solution to that. Would you kind of share what agents are doing in that regard?
Well, I hope I go in the direction that you're thinking. but from my perspective, these guys are not hiring full-time marketers. Mm-hmm. They are hiring someone to help, and generally it is somebody that can help them part-time. I mean, look, when we have a 7-person or a 21-person or a 50-person agency, I don't know anyone that has an extra 8 hours a week to go do the marketing, which is the challenge. And so what these guys have done is they're hiring people part-time to get started, and as revenue grows, as referral programs get built, as welcome programs and newsletters and connecting with certain programs with agencies or different carriers, when that all starts to gel, the hours increase.
Now, do you see that some are looking around the shop and saying, I wonder who does have 8 hours a week and the proclivity to do that, and they're kind of morphing a CSR position, for example?
Sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And I would say that happens more often with agencies that are moving towards service centers so that they can offer their clients 24-hour service.
Okay.
But the other thing that happens is the service is coming off of somebody's desk when it moves into a service center, and they're taking some of those hours and are moving some of those people towards marketing. Look, you don't have to have a marketing degree. You need to have a perspective of... You have to be able to write a paragraph. Yeah, you should have a sense of being able to tell a story. But those are about the only requirements for somebody coming in and doing these things that are driving revenue and retention in some of these agencies.
Okay. So, Chuck, you know, as a 25, 30-year professional marketer, a seasoned marketer, I do think a lot of the functions that we're talking about that we're going to be exploring here, they are what I would consider to be kind of paraprofessional skills in, you know, like early introductory beginning skills in marketing as a profession. And so executing on them is not insurmountable. So let's talk about what some of the behaviors are of these agencies that you think contributes to their growth.
Yeah, so let me start on the personalized side. We ask clients around 25 questions, and most of them are simply yes or no. Mm-hmm. And it's things like, do you use client referrals, mortgage referrals, real estate, cross-sell, digital advertising? Do you get referrals from captive agents? Are you cross-selling your commercial lines book? Do you do any print or TV or radio, postcards and mailers? Do you go after unsold prospects, re-quoting them, or do you re-quote lost clients? All that kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Let me just pause for a second.
Sure,
I'll circle back on that.
Yeah.
In the survey, is there an emphasis on new customer generation and lead generation, or is there also some emphasis on cross-selling, account rounding, and client retention, those things that lead to loyalty?
Yeah, so the first, the it's it comes in, we do it in two parts. One of them is, how are you growing? How are you specifically targeting new business? And then secondly, we ask, okay, we know that there are things that you do to drive new business, but what are the supporting activities behind behind the new business? And so I've got, and I'll just share with you, here are some of the things that we ask them. You know, are you doing Facebook? Do you use staff bios with photos on your website? Which at one point it was less than 50%. I'm happy to say I think it's now like over 65%.
As the former CEO of Agency Revolution, I can speak to that. That on our platform, on our website platform, the staff bio page was, after the homepage, the second most visited page ever anywhere.
Yeah, so right.
But
yeah.
Why is that? Because, and I think we'll see this come up as a theme in this conversation, because the marketplace wants to connect with real people. Seems to be a sound argument.
That
okay.
is exactly it.
So you asked a lot of questions, and so what patterns of behavior did you see?
So let's start on the new business side, just because that's what's in front of me here. But what I would really tell you as far as a pattern is, generally among most of the questions that we asked, except for the area of branding and advertising. So radio, TV, yellow pages, print ads, postcards and mailers, almost everything that I just mentioned was not only below 50%, but some of them entering low single digits. And with almost everything else that we ask, it's above 50%, some reaching as high as 98% on client referral. Let me finish this one thought.
Okay, there's still a good Yellow Pages book out there somewhere. There is. I'm gonna raise an interesting question for which you probably don't have to. You know, you may not have the answer. It's kind of rhetorical. I have some clients who are running postcard campaigns and getting remarkable results. Now they also happen to be really good digital marketers, so I think they just get marketing. And so I'm wondering, are the ones who aren't using postcards or direct mail, is that if there's just a sense, first of all, it's a hard skill. And secondly, I wonder if there's a sense that it's just, you know, not working anymore. So I don't know if, you know, that I'm sure that the answer to that one could certainly be up for debate. But of the things that were above 50%, what were the kinds of things that you found?
Well, just to finish your thought on postcards and mailers. Uh-huh. 43, so my point on those is there's a lot of people that say, yes, they're doing a lot of things, but frankly, I don't care. Right. I only really want to know what I can teach and what's going to make the biggest impact. What are the things that are driving the most growth? I don't want to know how many of these tactics you use. That doesn't teach anyone anything if they're looking at, how do I get growth in my agency? Boil it down for me, right? And so what we then ask is, out of all these methods, which of these are top three? Suddenly, the world becomes crystal clear. Four things outpace everything else on the list. Four things alone. Number one, client referrals. And the interesting thing about, I'll come back to that. Number two is mortgage companies.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is real estate agent referrals, and number four is cross-selling my own personal lines accounts. Just cross-sell your own business.
Yeah. Okay.
So as I come back to the referrals, what's fascinating to me is 85% of these agencies, these high growth agencies that are doing it differently than everyone else, 85% of them say client referrals are number one. Well, only 28% of them, Michael, actually have a formalized client referral program.
Oh, that's remarkable. Okay, that's remarkable. Because, well, you know, so there's 67% or something, right? Or 57% that of those who probably could see a significant uptick if they ritualized and formalized that program a little bit.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So that was fascinating, and really, as we talk about well, what is a formal referral program? I know I'm talking to the master right now about this, but a formal client referral program, as we look at this across the country, even in some of the states where they say, you know, oh, the state's really tough to work with, you want to get your own, I can't give you legal advice, you need to right. figure that part out for yourself as an agent. However, almost all of these agents are now using referrals with the gifts going to a chosen charity in their local community. That avoids many of the, well, I can't give my client X amount of dollars or I'm breaking the rules, and it just stays completely away from that. And we see that as agents are communicating what they're doing in the community, the referrals are going up, so it has a double boost because you're sharing the character and the caliber of the people that are in your office and what you believe in as you're helping some of those charities out there. So that's really fascinating. And then with you know mortgage company referrals, I'm going to give you this one story. In my own hometown of Seattle, where I'm talking to you from today,
yeah.
one agent, even after I'd been sharing stuff like this for a decade, one agent went out and said, I'm going to hire a producer and just send them out to go see mortgage companies.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, they went out and saw 60, and half of them had never been seen by an agent.
That is remarkable. it's not that that strategy is like never been, you know, like nobody ever heard of it before. So good for him.
Yeah, it's yeah. about taking action on this stuff. I mean, when 85% is the number for client referrals, the number two method at mortgage companies is at 43%. Say that's a top three method of growth.
That's and outstanding. Even, okay, good.
Yeah, and even with that number, people still aren't going out and saying hello to their local mortgage company.
Well, you know, just case in point, for those who are listening thinking, oh, gosh, that market's already taken, it's not. I have a client who grew 39% last year. And he's had consistent 30% growth for 6 years, and that
wow.
is the strategy. So, and it's yep. a very big agency, $80-90 million, and you know he didn't hire somebody to do that. I think he's getting close to 100 people that are doing it. So, there's a lot of business out there if we know how to take care of it. Okay, so. Yeah, client referrals, mortgage referrals, mortgage, you know, at the closing, obviously we get a lot. Real estate as well is a top
real
four.
Real estate.
Uh-huh.
Yep, and then cross-sell rounds it out. And you know, Michael, I would even look at sharing with these, with the agents who are listening today, it is that there's a lot of things you can be very busy doing. And certainly advertising is one of those, but it's like internet ads and referrals from life and health and benefits agents, and you know all those things work for a few. And I would just say, just because there are some low numbers on here doesn't mean those things don't work for
Indeed.
Any method any agent uses that gets a positive first year return. I'd say just keep doing it, even if it's yellow pages, right? Because as you normally are keeping clients 4 to 8 years and hopefully more.
Hopefully more, right.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the strategies that help retention and what are the supporting activities in personal life.
Can I jump in on a kind of a point?
Sure.
Because I think it's a segue to what you're getting into. Oh, you know this story. Agency A versus Agency B. Agency A, you know, they have similar characteristics, qualities. They, let's say, both represent Safeco, both in, you know, medium-sized towns in the Midwest. And one does a cross-sell campaign and gets a really good response, you know, whatever. 7.3% of my customers responded, and another one does the exact same thing, and 2% respond, right?
Or less,
right? And they perhaps did the exact same thing. Now, an agent might say, the first one might say, well, my cross-selling campaign's working really well. And the other guy says, it's not working that well. What's the difference between the two? Well, there's a difference in the nature of the relationship between the agency and its customer base. Agency A must have done something to nurture those relationships, to earn the loyalty where they are willing to respond to something. Now, it's harder for an agent to say, my nurturing behaviors generated X percent of growth, but it turbocharges all of those marketing efforts that that we're executing every time we reach out to the marketplace. So I have a feeling that the agencies who do really well with like your retention, the retention behaviors or the cross-selling behaviors, like with existing customers, they get the best response to stuff.
Totally. Okay. And you'll really see it in some of these numbers as, when you see that, an average of around 60% agencies are now using staff bios, the staff bios are no longer just saying, been in the industry since, right. 2001.
Right.
This CSR handles the book of A through L in our business. She was recently awarded with or got whatever designation, and then stop. These guys are talking about has a grandson, has grandchildren, recently took a trip to, the
right.
favorite book is their
Love
favorite
mountain biking.
Are.
And, yeah.
And it's so, all about connecting.
So there's some things that you've said that I think stand out that, they're just really important. The community marketing, community activity and sharing your contributions to the community and the humanity and the transparency of the real people that work in the agency. Why do you think those things matter so much to people?
I think especially today in the age of social media, people want to connect. People want to do business with people that they like. They want to do business with people they have a relationship with. They want to, if they trust or even get to the point of really appreciate the character, if they admire mm-hmm. someone, mm-hmm. Their number of referrals goes up. They are actively seeking people to refer to you. And I have an agency that said, Chuck, I'm doing a newsletter. We're posting weekly on social media. And I said, that's great. You've checked the box. Now let me see what you're doing. And as I went in and looked at the weekly posts for the entire year, not a single photo of anyone in their office, nor a story of anyone doing anything outside of work. And so it's all safety news,
yeah, okay.
Insurance tips, and there's no connection.
Halloween.
Yeah, okay. But maybe not even
maybe
a happy,
not even
Halloween,
happy Halloween.
Or
okay.
a happy, I see where you're going. Like, happy National Donut Day or
yeah,
something
right.
like
well,
that.
Well, it was around, I got on Instagram around Halloween. As I said, and of course, agents were following me and I was following them. And it was like, so I got on my smartphone. I was like, okay, let's see what's going on Instagram. It's like, oh, this agency, happy Halloween. And the next one, happy. And I'm thinking at some point, okay, I know we need to say happy Halloween, but can't we have better content than that? So,
yes.
So part of what you're saying is that it's really kind of low hanging fruit, isn't it? It's not hard to do the stuff you're talking about, like this, like sharing who we are and what we do.
I think that it is hard for Michael. If I want to be blunt, I had somebody once tell me the door is right there. Just grab the doorknob. It's such an easy path. Just go do it. Well,
right.
For a lot of agents, it's hard to even see where the door is when you have so much work that you're coming home late, or even as one agent shared with me, I came home a half hour later and waited for my kids to go to bed because I didn't want them complaining to me about how late I'm coming home. I mean, that's what's really happening, Michael, in our agencies' lives. And we want to get them to the point where they've got enough help to get things done and they're growing and they're having the kind of lifestyle that they got into
right.
business for.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
what we want to help them with.
Clearly. There are time management solutions that we need to or can be introduced that we're not going to do in this particular conversation, but they're critical. I remember a very short story at a boot camp, 10, 15 years ago. An agent coming up to me after one of these 2 or 3 day events with he said, I've got 11 pages of notes. I can't wait to go back to the office. And then I saw him 3 or 6 months later. And I said, hey, Fred, tell me how much, tell me about, last time I saw you at 11 pages of notes and all this stuff you wanted to do. And he said, oh, I feel so bad. I've been just too busy to get anything done. And at that point I realized, oh, there's a different problem we need to solve.
Yes. And so the challenge that you look at then is, So how do they communicate? Because, yeah, Michael, over the last decade, the thing that's become so apparent to me is there's lots of great ideas, but people can't implement them. So get the marketer hired, someone part-time. You're not paying benefits. It's 15 to 25 bucks an hour. Mm-hmm. You pay them for 8 hours, and you start to increase the wage. And at some point, yes, they might become full-time. But remember, 60% of these people have someone on staff helping them with the marketing.
Right on.
Okay. Because you can't do these other supporting activities like gathering client testimonials, working on search engine optimization, putting a couple of posts out on Facebook, having a newsletter or an email newsletter or blogging. That's the kind of stuff that connects if it's done in a personal manner, not in an overly professional insurance-based manner.
Right on. Okay. So we have the top four from the personal lines agents, right?
Yeah.
And was there, so on that side, was there anything else that stood out on the personal line side?
I would tell you that when you look at on the supporting activities, some of the other things that were kind of stunning to me, the number of agents that are now sending out welcome kits and or have some kind of a welcoming process has gone from
welcome kit is a term. I don't know if it existed more than 20 years ago, but I'm thrilled to see that the industry's adopted. So now maybe I should ask you to define, you know, like your definition of welcome kit. And
yeah,
then I have a follow-up question for you.
So it's not a letter from the principal that says, welcome to our agency and basically all about how much you service your clients.
Right.
It's a multi-step mailer. It's not only intended for a cross-sell piece for you, followed by an Ann Landers letter so that you can then sell life. It's about sharing who you are and getting them to trust and believe in you and admire what you do in the community. There are agents that are doing this now only by text. There are agents that are doing it by hard copy mail. There are some that do it by email, although it's not many, because you want it to be something that people hang on to. But that's our definition.
And there are probably agents that are doing a little bit of a hybrid, right? Because, you know,
if
they've got the technology, then
the
email marketing can get triggered automatically. And meanwhile, things can actually show up on their kitchen table with little, you know, gimmies and tchotchkes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Always includes their referral program.
Uh-huh.
Always includes a story of what they're doing in the community, and always includes the history of the agency and why they're in business. And again, not about how great their service is, which is what every agency tells every client, but more defined around really what is our history of the business.
Got it. All right. Shall we jump to the business lines?
Oh yeah, sure.
Side of the biz. Okay. What are you finding out over there?
Number of the activities. Let me phrase it this way: when I put it to which of these things are the top three methods of growth, the quantity of items that were 11% or more, so double digits, was higher than the four that we saw that really worked in personal lines.
All right.
And the more interesting thing that I found is seven of the top nine were different kinds of referrals. I'll quickly list them for you. So client referrals, 88%, as you'd expect. Referrals from industry or business associations at 20%. Referrals from mortgage companies, 19%. Referrals from real estate agents, again, 15%. So again, this is business lines focused now.
Yeah, interesting.
Referrals from business networks at 15%. Referrals from captive agents for business at 14%. And referrals for life, health, and benefits agents from those guys, 11%. So seven of the top nine were all about referrals. So what's interesting about that? And what do I teach about that? What's interesting about that is they're not going out and spending a ton of money on advertising and leads, and they're using their personalities. This is where independent agents win, right? Your one-on-one connection, your handshake, your eye-to-eye connection, and sharing who you are with someone in business lines is even more important than it is in personal lines. Mm-hmm. So that's where these guys are winning and growing significantly compared to the rest of the market.
Got it.
They're getting out of the office, Michael.
All right. So anything else on the commercial line side that was like something people need to pay attention to?
When you look at digital advertising, digital advertising also hit 11% in business lines. But what is digital advertising? Right. That covers such a broad swath of answers.
Right.
It could be boosting a Facebook ad. It could be paying for paid search. Paid search for different keywords, or it could simply be doing different activities to boost your own search engine optimization so your name comes up higher in the rankings. That's at 11%, but compare that to print ads at 5%, postcards and mailers 4%, internet leads at 4%, right. Radio at 3%, TV, yellow pages at 1%. I mean, all that kind of stuff is just, that's not where these guys are winning.
Okay. Yellow pages. Back in the day, I'm sure it was pretty close to 100%. So it's just mind-boggling to see how much the world has changed. So, Chuck, when you look at now you have three of these surveys. Are there trends that you think stand out?
Several things. One, again, the quantity of agents that are understanding that the staff bio is the number two page on a website. If they're not going to see your quotes, guys, they're not looking for your quote button. They're going to your contact pages and your staff bio pages to learn about who you are and are you the kind of person I can connect with, because if you're not and you don't have that stuff online, they're just going to the next website.
The notion that this is a relationship business is still 100% true. The manner in which relationships can be attracted, cultivated, and enhanced has changed.
Yep.
Okay.
Another one, Michael, as I talk a little bit of digital. The quantity of agencies who are updating their websites quarterly or more often, and even that, I think, is not enough. I think they ought to be doing it at least monthly because it helps the search engine optimization, right?
Right.
So, but that's gone from 15% to about 40%, just to say how many of you are updating your website quarterly. So that's a stunning change.
That is.
Over the last three surveys. Another one on promoting community involvement. As far back as 10 years ago, that was around 20%. I don't want to brag about myself. I don't want to pat myself on the back. The last couple of years, it broke 50%, and now it's sitting at about 63-64%. Of these high-growth agencies that are promoting it. Again, that's not what the industry is doing.
Right.
That's what the high-growth agents
are doing. Okay. All right. There's so much rich data in this that I think this phone call should be, if I were an agency principal, I'd probably call a staff meeting and just push the play button. And then afterwards, let's talk about it. Okay. I mean, not to listen to me, to listen to Chuck.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's like, you know, social media is now broaching the 75% of these agencies are using social media. Mm-hmm. The challenge with it is they're still not doing it really well. And if you're putting up, if somebody tells you you got to have 5 posts a week or even 1 post a week, but what you're posting about is anything other than your staff doing something fun or being engaged in the community, it's a miss. Because that's you talk about agents who get a better response on a cross-sell program, it's because they're showing that they're worthy of a referral. It's that simple. If all you're doing is selling every time you communicate or saying, well, I'm not selling, I'm just talking about insurance because I want them to know what we do. They know what you do. Oh my gosh, they know what you do.
You mean the agent
who you are.
The agents who jump on LinkedIn and says, save money with me is not engaging the marketplace. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. All right. Those of you who are listening, if you know who I'm talking about, then I'll leave it at that. So, Chuck, next survey, are you going to do this again next year?
Yes, we'll do it again next year, and we're going to be including just an ongoing basis, both business and personal lines. Michael, I will try and put a little bit of a bow on it with this statement. I recently got a look into 10 amazing agencies across our country that are doing such different kinds of things to succeed.
Yeah.
And what they are, some of them are doing some of these things we've talked about, and they have mastered this, what I almost call a basic level of marketing. They're communicating regularly, they're using social media, they're updating their website, great. Their mm-hmm. retention is going up, their new business is going up. Now go play. Now go have fun.
Okay.
Now go do the things you want to do.
Yeah.
And they are testing the limits of what technology can do. They are pushing being able to quote and handle renewals mm-hmm. and book business online within the agency so that their people have more time to go out and find new business opportunities. They are some of them using chatbots, mm-hmm. Reducing service work. They are testing different industries that have never been done before. Like they're finding ways to write cyber. They're finding ways to specialize in just different things that are. Look, yes, we have automated car vehicles that don't even have a steering wheel that are coming in our future, and who's going to handle the liability on that stuff? Yes, there are challenges coming to our industry, but these guys are thinking of new ways to go about growing in the industry, and it's one of the reasons I'm so excited about the future of the independent agent.
I love to hear that. So I'm going to wind it up and ask you one last question. Based on all of this that you know, if you were going to deliver a little bit of a pithy, short, but hopefully a kind of a poignant message to the independent insurance agency principal of today, what do you want them to hear from you?
Michael, I used to say you can grow. What I would say right now is hire a marketer.
Okay, got it. All right.
And we can help them with teaching. We can help train them. You can help train them. There's multiple companies that know the things that work like we do and can share with these agents how to make it work without recreating the wheel.
Outstanding. Well, yeah. Chuck, hopefully you'll agree to another date with me in a year after next year's survey is done, and I have a feeling you and I will be talking to each other a number of times between now and then. Meanwhile, Chuck, first of all, thank you to you and to Safeco for supporting and promoting these efforts. I think it's outstanding work. And thanks for the contribution that you're making to the industry. And thanks for spending this time with us today.
Michael, that's awesome. I appreciate that. And appreciate your good work as well. It's always fun to get together with you.
Right on. Okay. We'll be in touch. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.